Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That is Anderson. I'm Brad Bishop, your host for today. You're right there.
We're good.
Good framing. Nice. A bit of unusual, not unusual, but a break from the norm. Well, we're going to go over multiple assigned films, and we're also going to do a top five later in the week. It was also assigned to us. Catching up on some assignments, Anderson.
Yeah, we got a couple movies that were assigned to us. So, yeah, it's stressing me out, Brian, because of your illness, you being hospitalized.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Me going out of the country.
But then also you leaving as soon as I got back.
I know.
It's causing us issues, Bri.
Backlog.
Yeah, and it's stressing me out because I'm the one who manages all this, and I'm looking at the Patreon people and what we owe, the movies that we owe people. So, been going back and forth. We got a lot of good movies that we're going to be catching up with and starting this week.
All right.
Starting this week.
So
rather than assigning each other movies with the gambling, we're going to be doing a couple listener assigned movies each week, which will be fun.
Fair.
Starting this week.
Fair. Excited for this.
And then what we're going to be doing, my buddy Eric Holmes had this idea. I like it. We'll be keeping track of the gambling as we always have. However, the winner each month gets to assign the watch along movie. So
now we're talking
beginning next month, because I didn't want to find out who won last month. I
didn't want fair
deal with texting fair you and fair figuring that out. So I just fair. I assigned the two of us Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is a movie that I saw back many years ago.
I saw that many years ago as
and
well.
It made me very uncomfortable when I saw it.
A very little recollection of it. It was exceptionally cheesy.
Yes, really, really bad, but it's a bit of a cult film. I think it'll lend itself to watching along with the listeners.
Is that assigned to us?
No.
No.
We'll sweet be watching that, I think, the last Thursday of the month, right?
Sweet.
What's the date of that? What's that date?
Oh, hold on. I got to hear right.
We'll be next doing this. Thursday. We'll be watching that for the comfort of my
26.
The 26.
Almost out.
Want to do Wednesday or Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday? What can you do?
Oh, either one. Let's do
Wednesday. Cool.
Okay.
All right. So we're doing Wednesday or 25th?
No, Thursday.
Really?
Thursday better. Chrissy's got dinner plans on Wednesday.
I mean, I got my acting class with my boy. I mean.
Oh. All right, I can make it work. We can ask Grandma to watch.
Can we do Wednesday?
Well, let me do it probably Wednesday.
Wednesday
probably
or Thursday, Wednesday, guys.
Probably jeez Wednesday.
We should probably let the listeners decide. But yeah, if you're
this
part of
that,
watch along. We'll be watching Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That sardonic voice you hear is Avery returning to us.
I thought it was Gina Grant.
No, after a while, once Gina vacated the studio, Avery's like, can I come back?
Yeah, it was not going to be. Too many ladies in the room.
That's right. Too many.
Many ladies.
The only reason I walked in was because Christy was asleep.
That's
the
right.
The coast is clear.
I actually told her, I'm like, pretend you're asleep whenever it comes in, so we'll actually come in and do this job, which she did.
Avery, you know what we're doing next week?
What are we doing?
Sundance preview.
Oh.
I'll fuck to the yes on that.
Big time.
Oh, geez. You know how much research that is?
Standing lots ovations.
Not that much.
Lots of research.
Just go straight to the documentary list.
Got a friend, got a collaborator over there. He's at Sundance. He leaves in a couple days. Might get a little inside scoop.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, are we getting a call in?
You know, a few
we're
people
gonna pop
that,
in?
That are over there. We got a number of listeners, actually, who work the event in one way or another. Yeah. But
this is exciting.
I got a collaborator who's going to be
getting some man on the street?
Rubbing some elbows. Huh? We don't want man on the street. There's nothing but douchebags over there. You know what I mean? Except for our friends.
Nothing but deebs.
A lot of deebs. A lot of blow.
I've heard this.
Yeah, a lot of white.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let's say, best case scenario, pie in the sky, you get your dream and I get mine. My documentary goes to Sundance.
Oh, it's not really a dream. It helps a lot. It helps a lot.
It's unlikely. I admit that.
It'd be a double-edged sword immediately. Be like, cool, we're in Sundance. We got a lot of free promotion and the movie's going to go somewhere. Oh no, now what? Like,
yeah,
I got to go there and play the game.
I'm prepared to not do this at all. That said, let's just for this exercise say, I've been accepted to Sundance. I go and I'm surrounded by a white powder, not snow.
Cocaine?
That's right.
YOLO.
And I got to make the deal, right?
Would you do blow to make the deal?
Can you vape cocaine?
Can you vape cocaine?
Can you vaporize? You probably could.
You know, I wouldn't be shocked if we checked Brian's email, Google history, and that was in there at one point or another. What else might I vape?
I was researching. I was researching for a project.
Free vaping. Instead of free basin, it's free
vaping. Not bad.
Yeah.
That's a really good existential question.
That is.
Well, I mean.
I thought you meant like, can you vape cocaine is a great existential question.
That's a very practical question.
I was about to educate you on what existential actually means.
I know. Now wondering is like, yeah, I mean, I'll probably have investors who are like, you fucking do that cocaine.
That'd be a weird move.
Get the deal done.
They got the dude who survived cancer in the room pitching his cancer movie about himself.
Wait, here's how it goes.
And they're like, you got a limb bias with us.
There he is. From
beta test. Cummings. Yes.
And I go in the room. It's like, hey, bro, we love the doc. Love the doc. Let's keep the conversation going after this cocaine.
Be honest.
We want to pick it up.
That cancer thing's bullshit, right? You can level with us.
We got a lot of buyers lined up.
We're in the movie either way.
A lot of buyers lined up. We're talking chance of maybe winning Sundance here. Yeah. Caveat.
The deal doesn't get done until this pile is gone. Until you do
a
piggy.
That's weird, Brad. It's a weird thing to thought. How do we get down this road?
I guess that's how deals are done. I don't know. I'm not ignorant. You sold it. Sundance preview. Film, you know.
I don't think that's how deals are done. Hey, what kind of business we got to get to?
What's up?
The YouTube page continues to grow. Thank you very much for all the recent subscribers, and thank you very much to Eric, who's doing some amazing work with. Have you gone over there yet, Brian?
Yeah, it's great.
Of course you have. Yeah. Not. Have that's you not? Not. There's my video of you over there talking.
Oh, really? What's the website?
He's working a full-time job, Anderson. He doesn't have time for this
Thank
show.
Thank you.
He's baking bread now. That's how much time this man has on his hands. He's baking bread.
Wait, was that your bread and not Christie's?
I mean, I helped.
We walked into the studio.
Are you lying? Is this false auspices?
Avery and I walked in the studio, and all Brian could talk about was the GD bread. And
through coughing fits.
Yeah.
There's elements of me in the bread, and now in you.
This is the worst version of the menu.
That's right. S'mores.
Brian's egg and ham. All right, let's talk movies. Let's just get right into it.
Are we talking movies?
Let's do it.
I want to hear what the listeners have seen. Mm-hmm. Avery, you got that list?
I do.
Yeah. Speaking of Mitch Burns, Mitch launched a podcast. Yeah. The
Did
Film
he?
Walters. You guys hear about this?
Yeah. Is it launched?
No,
it
didn't. I've been seeing it on social media. So
okay,
I
cool. So
assume.
He's launched it. Yeah, yeah. He's doing an addendum program. Where he's kicking it off by interviewing people that are attached or somehow to the program. So he should be interviewing himself because he's one of the people.
Is it like
attached.
A recap show?
No, I think they're going to talk about like their love of movies and like movies that they found through the show. And Did like he, so far it? He's had Florence Brummer on. He's had DVK on, Diana Vanekamp.
Do they talk about
it? He's got Gio Johnny in there.
He's got to get Gio Johnny on there, yeah. But it's just, you know, it's expanding the Film Vault universe, as it were. Because, you know, everyone says that they need more Film Vault
That's
in
right.
their life.
That like, is a...
people on the street tell me that.
People, Avery, we got to get a third camera. Because I was able to do it with Gina Grad.
And, yeah, she's much better looking than I am, though.
Significantly.
Ooh, a lot of positive reviews on the Gina Grad. People were very excited to have her on. They said that they love the estrogen. Sorry, Avery.
Sorry.
And that they would like to have us.
None of those personally wounding.
Have Gina on a semi-regular basis. So if you can check her schedule, I feel like she's pretty, pretty freed up these days.
No, that's very rude to assume that, but yeah, you're right.
It's rude and accurate. All right. What have the listeners been listening?
Yes, Fan Fiction.
Where do people find Mitch Burns' podcast?
That's
where podcasts can be found?
It's called the Film Vaulters.
The Film Vaulters.
Yeah, so it's just like our show with ERS.
Yeah, I think I named it, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He gave me a bunch
That's
of titles.
Funny you mention that, because my only... I was like, how
oh,
nice.
Oh, no. You're going to say you don't like the title?
No, the first thing I was like, my first thought was, oh, that's cool. A little wrap-up show or whatever. You know, offshoot of the Film Vault. That's very cool. And then I was like, no, people don't search for the Film Vault and get confused.
Well, I mean, if they do, they're going to hear Mitch Burns is lovely talking to people that are related to the program. You know, what's funny is the Love Line After Disaster, a little program that I also began many years
call
ago.
It that.
That began as a wrap-up show, or at least it was pitched as a wrap-up show for Loveline, which we never had any intentions of doing. We just wanted to do our own thing, which we have been doing ever since. Mm. But we're like, yeah, it's going to be great. You know, just more content. We'll just talk about Loveline.
Is that where this is going?
Could be.
Mitch is going to start getting blackout drunk and throwing machetes.
Machetes.
I love the idea of Mitch
If you get
Burns.
Invited on there to talk about black culture, I'll be pissed.
I love... Dude, Avery's definitely going to be on there. I love the idea of Mitch Burns taking this to like great heights and it eclipsing the Film Vault, like you said.
That's a low bar.
I love it. And like, you know, 10 years from now, the people are like, where are the Film Vaulters? Where did the name come from?
Why didn't you just name it the Film Vault?
Yeah, I was going to say.
That. One of the co-hosts died in Sundance. He overdosed on coke a long time ago.
You had Len Bias. That's right.
I already made a Len Bias reference, yes.
I hear that.
I'm sorry, buddy. That's ground that's been covered, Brian.
No, I apologize for that. You'd be a better listener.
Retreading.
All right, what have the listeners...
Going over old ground.
Speaking of the old bitch Merns, what have the listeners been...
Fanfiction compiled by the host of the Film Vaulters, Mitch Burns. The Upright on Reddit saw Me Threegan. It was a lot of fun. It was a fresh-ish take on a standard story, and it did well. My biggest quibble was the therapist who was not true to life at all. Mm. But the rest of the movie had a self-aware gravity I found to be fun and engaging. Mm. Never glanced at my watch. Thumbs up. Do you want to guess what the Me Threegan FVT score is?
It's got to be around 90%.
I'm going to say 75.
89%, Brian.
Right. Brian, you win nothing. Gambling. Congratulations.
Richard McErlin. Good name. On Facebook, Operation Fortune, Luz de Guerre, I think, right? It was the... Really enjoyed this new offering from Guy Ritchie about spies gaining access to an arms dealer via his favorite celebrity. Hugh Grant steals the show. I did wonder if Guy Ritchie experienced something similar to the plot of the movie when he was married to Madonna.
Hmm.
4 stars.
Wait, which one was that?
That was Operation Fortune, a Ruse de Guerre.
This is a Mitch.
Is that a theatrical release?
Richie, he's releasing these movies early in the year now. Like he's finding his own little niche. Yeah.
Is he just giving a middle finger to January and February? Just saying, good shit can come out now too.
Mm.
I caught up on what was Wrath of Man.
Wrath of Man was sweet.
Good times.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Surprisingly good.
I think that's in my top five last year.
We all liked the Wrath of Man. We also liked The Gentleman.
I like Wrath of Man better.
Okay. I love the score of the Wrath of Man. It was
just
unrelenting and like the same. It's like 4 bars just over and over. It was great.
Yeah, it was good shootouts. Corey Robinson on Facebook. I called my mom on Saturday and she answered and said, I'll call you back later. I'm walking into the movies.
I know what she's going to see.
The last movie my mom saw in a theater was Titanic.
Can I guess?
Yep.
Man called out. Was it a man called Otto?
Most of the films she's seen since then are on the Hallmark Channel. So what film drew her into the theater for the first time in 2 decades?
Puss in Boots.
A Man Called Otto.
Yeah. My buddy Paul just sent me a article in the New York Times, which I was unable to open because I don't fucking give money to that rag. You know what I'm saying?
Liberal rag.
But it turns out that old people came out in droves again. They came out for the Top Gun and they're like, I like that, Tom Hanks. Let's go watch him be like us. Pissed. I think it was something like that.
Do you think that was ever uttered? Let's go watch him be angry like us.
Now it has. With the Otto.
That's right.
God, that fucking trailer.
Her review?
It's pretty rough.
Parallel to what?
Her review? It was fine. That's it.
That was mom's review?
That was mom's review.
Oh, mom.
After waiting 23 years to go back to a theater.
Was it 23 years?
That's what you said.
The last movie was
Titanic.
Titanic was
no. It would have been 24 years.
Wait, did she stop going because Titanic was just like, how does it get better than that? Exactly. Or she's like, none of these movie things aren't for me.
But then she didn't believe James with Avatar. She thought, no, he can't top himself.
They're re-releasing Titanic in theaters. I saw a trailer for
in
it
in 3D,
today.
Right?
I saw a trailer for it today.
Holy shit,
a
really?
Trailer, like a green band trailer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's really cool.
I'm only just mentioning it because it came up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
When you saw it in 1999.
I 5-starred that shit. I mean, but I'm not running to the goddamn theater.
Oh, look, it's a round number. It's been 25 years. We got to get it back in the theaters.
I thought it was 97. No? Am I wrong about that?
I think you're right.
Might have been 97. I don't know.
Yeah, the COVID year doesn't count. This was like clean.
Oh, I see.
Chris O'Brien on Twitter. I don't know how you... Skinamarink? Skinamarink? Is that
I do.
It?
I don't know.
I think that is what it is. I know because my roommate is currently watching that. Skinamarink. Slow and plodding. You are left at times wondering what you are looking at in the dark blankness of the scene. The concept is genuinely terrifying and it delivers in short bursts of action in the sea of static.
Son of a bitch.
It's impressive what was done with so little.
Mm. Mm.
I think so. We'll investigate later. Devin Miller.
Will we?
Devin Miller AZ on Instagram, plane.
Oh, plane. What's it about?
Why? This movie knows exactly what it is and doesn't waste time pretending to be anything else. This is just a 100% adrenaline ride from start to finish. And although there are plenty of plot holes, the action just keeps racing on and you don't have time to dwell on them.
This is like Con Air, but if there's only one inmate and he's decent, he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
And he kicks ass.
It's just the Nick Cage character.
Hey, can you tell me more about Skinamarink again? What did the listener say about it?
He said that it was slow and plodding, and you are left at times wondering what you're looking at in the dark blankness of the scene.
There's two directors, both named Kyle. Oh, no, they're... What?
So I heard... my roommate was telling me something about how...
One director.
It leaked, and then it got very positive reviews based on the leaks, and then they decided to put it in theaters. I guess it's doing well compared to its budget. That's what he was saying. It's supposed to be genuinely horrifying, and he was saying it's the most he's heard people talk about a horror movie like this since Hereditary. So, I don't know.
Fun.
He is a movie hipster, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, it looks very, very hipster. I'm seeing footage of it for the first time right now. I read about it a while ago, and it didn't really appeal to me because I'm not a horror guy.
It's unprofessional.
I know. Well, it's my goddamn sister.
Skinamarink premiered at the Fantasia International Film Festival on July 2022. The screen. This version was repeatedly uploaded to YouTube and excerpts to TikTok, Reddit, and Twitter, where it attracted considerable word-of-mouth acclaim. A number of videos on TikTok deemed it one of the scariest films ever made.
Well, it's well done, Kyle. I feel like Kyle's probably the one who uploaded that.
Possible.
A little viral. Hey, why'd you say there was two Kyles who directed this one? That's absolutely untrue.
It's 100% untrue, but Google, weirdly, on their information lists, I just saw Kyle and Kyle, but Kyle Edward Bell and Kyle Bell, which I have to assume is the same person.
It'd be a strange directing duo if they were
really
that
strange. Close. Although they have father and son. Like
they found
Mario,
each other
on Melvin Van Peebles.
On the Facebook like page. It was like, people like names.
And love directing films.
Yeah. Like interest, like name. All right, I had a friend. I still have a friend. He's still my friend. My buddy Farron.
I like Farron. How's Farron doing these
dating
days?
A woman named Farron for a minute. Man, that was fucking weird. I didn't dig it. I stopped hanging out.
How's he doing these days?
He's doing good. He's one of my friends who's like, yeah, you got a kid. I'm out. I haven't heard much from him.
Have you done that in the past?
I used to do it all the time. No. I used to do it to friends who like went in the program and friends who had kids. I'm like, oh, I guess I don't have you as
friend
anymore.
Yeah.
No, Farron and I, we catch up. We have like meaningful, as soon as COVID hit, like we were on the phone for like 3 hours, just discussing everything that was going to happen. He's one of those guys.
He's a deep thinker.
Love Farron. Mm. All right.
Well, finally.
Oh, there's more.
Just browsing here, 83 on Reddit. Great name. Avatar, The Way of Water. I'm on Team Avery here. This was awesome. An unforgettable theater experience.
Who are these fucking children?
I bought in. This is my alternate account. I bought in from the beginning and it paid off. Couldn't keep my eyes off the screen and I loved every second. Blonde Deutscher replied, were you on drugs as well while you saw it? That seems like the only way to enjoy a video game.
Agreed.
I am offended.
Somebody let me know. Could have been Gio. That to anyone who's saying that it looks like video games obviously doesn't play video games.
That's
guilty.
True.
I mean, I play Katamari every now and again, but that's about it.
It's what I hope they look like in the future.
You hope
fingers crossed.
We look like fish cat people.
Yeah, we get the blue boobs and the smart whales.
I play online poker.
Are we supposed to be beating off to these things? Is that what the game the goal here is? The aim?
I hope so.
Did James Cameron sit down and go, we need to create something that is vaguely like?
I hope so. Otherwise, did it really?
I think so. The story is.
It's really wrong in the theater. That's why everyone was looking at me so weird.
Pee Wee Herman?
So dumb.
You Paul Reubening?
I like it blue. I like it blue.
To be fair, the movie is about a man who, a white man, who uses technology to be immersed within the world to bang blue people.
It's total cultural appropriation.
It's the ultimate.
Yeah. I'm going to become one of you.
And the viewers doing the same thing.
Wow.
It's a little bit of Get Out in there.
Yeah.
I saw a movie today and I was going to write it down.
Did you forget what it was?
Oh, I remember. Oh, forgettable.
All right, let's get into it. What are we doing here?
What are we talking about today, Brad? Where should we begin? We got some interesting ones to talk about.
We do. So where did Bardo come from? Because I thought that was assigned to us, too.
I signed you.
Oh, you signed it to me.
A couple weeks ago. I mean, it's one of the ones we got to get to, and we got to talk about it.
Should we talk Bardo? I'll come in looking forward to talking Bardo.
All right, let's Bardo it up.
Bardo, or False Chronicles of a Handful of Truths.
Do we need to include all that?
I don't think Bardo.
I think no one's going to be confused when you say Bardo.
Well, I feel like if the movie deserved the full title, we could give it to it. You know what I mean?
This is from Alejandro
Iñárritu. He added a G in there.
Yeah, I know. Gonzalez Inarritu, the director of Birdman, or what is it, The Unexpected Virtues of Ignorance. He likes subtitles. A man likes his subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to call Bardo False Chronicles of A Handful of Truths, because Bardo 2021 is a completely different movie.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah,
see, a year before a movie called Bardo came out.
Daniel Jimenez Cacho stars as Silverio in this film. 59% Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Is streaming on Netflix. Anderson, I'm going to get right into it. I was surprised at the Rotten Tomatoes score. I would have been in the same camp, except for what I found to be a really solid ending that redeemed the movie for me. There was a good 2 hours there where I was watching, and I'm like, where are we going with this? It was just kind of meandering a little bit. It meandered a lot. It was aimless. It was a series of vignettes.
Grotesque.
From this man's life. And I'll set it up. So Silverio, he is a journalist documentarian who is celebrated in some camps and derided in some camps. Mm-hmm. And those who deride him, at least one of them gets a chance to tell him to his face in one of many scenes that is reminiscent of Birdman. You remember where Michael Keaton came face to face with the critic in the bar, and she dressed him down and said, "You're a movie actor. You'll never be taken seriously."
Yeah.
It was a very similar scene here at the rooftop.
Yeah, it's Alejandro Iñárritu facing his own imposter syndrome, right?
And, I can see that.
Facing his own truths. And like this movie, like so many movies, especially recently, they're all trying to get after the truth. The whale, just write something true, write something honest. And this is trying to get after the truth.
Well, ironic, because we're dealing perhaps with an unreliable narrator here. We, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but there is
dreams or
yeah, well, there is that element throughout of like, how much of this am I supposed to believe?
Yeah.
But that said, throughout the film, which did meander and did leisurely take its time telling tales and stories, some tall, some taller, I found the ending very compelling.
Interesting.
Moving.
We should do a spoiler on this. Brief.
Brief, though, brief. Maybe.
It should be brief. But yeah, maybe you can explain to me why. Because maybe I missed it. What I thought was happening was absolute and total drivel. But maybe I missed the point. It actually angered me even more. So I shouldn't say that. I mean, there's a lot of beauty here. This is a master filmmaker just indulging the fuck out of himself.
Yeah, no one was telling him no on the set.
No one was telling him no. Or in the editor room. And you know what? There's a good movie in here. How long was it? It was 2 hours and 39 minutes. And there were some scenes that just went on and on and on that were not adding much. But they were all beautiful. We should say that this thing... at times reminded me a little bit Tenebrae Lux as far as like,
no,
chances
really?
It was taking.
Okay.
And it uses a
is that a little wide, more of a narrative?
Wide, yeah, for sure more of a narrative, you're fair. But wide lens throughout was the wide lens, I think, because that opening shot in Tenebrae Lux is like, back then was something to behold. You can shoot it now on your iPhone, sadly. Mm. Or not sadly.
Not so sadly.
But he uses
lots of long takes, lots of tracking
of
shots.
A lot of tracking shots, a lot of...
If you didn't know this was the director of Birdman and you watched this, which is pretty weird, you would recognize a lot of things from Birdman.
It reminded me of Schenectady, New York in the sense, Schenectady, in the sense that, that thematically it was going after kind of the same thing where, thematically in Schenectady, we're watching this man lose his mind because
not the name of the film.
It's Schenectady. It's, Philip Seymour Hoffman. We're watching this man lose his fucking mind because he no one says no, and he has unlimited resources and budgets, and he's inside his head so much he can't. He intimidates himself out of making something good, right?
Paralysis by analysis.
I felt like we're watching that in real time with what Alejandro Iñárritu did with this, right? Like it seemed like he had just unlimited resources. He shot this thing down in Mexico. This is his Fablements. This is his Roma. And I definitely sensed that he was trying to outdo himself. And in doing that,
to tell the untellable story,
shooting himself in the foot a bit. Mm. I think that he could have told something that would have given me something more to grab onto. I had a hard time grabbing on to much with this movie.
Yeah, it doesn't make it easy. It doesn't spoon feed you.
And I don't need to be spoon fed. I like to be challenged. But for the most part, I was like, I could have watched two really good movies instead of, you know, this pompous shit.
Speaking of pompous, at one point he's getting dressed down by a friend / critic of his. It's a friend who...
adversary.
Adversarial a friendly friend. Rival. And the friend exclaimed about his latest work. He's dressing him down and explaining how terrible it actually was, despite the fact that he's being celebrated. He's like, "You even put yourself in your own movie. I found that hurtful. I thought that was a cheap shot. Should we describe how it opens?
Yeah,
it's audacious.
There's an umbilical cord involved.
There's a baby who wants back in.
Look, this man, he made...
there's a newborn.
Just one in. He gets popped back in.
The newborn decides the world is not for him, and he wants back in.
Kid takes a look around and says, you know what, this world's... Which is something that most parents have thought of. Like, I've thought about that with Atticus plenty of times. Like, this kid into a world where he might be like a baked potato by the time he's 25 with the atmosphere and overpopulation and all that shit. So this kid had enough wherewithal to come out as a newborn and be like, yeah, I just want to go back inside mom and snuggle up. And he did.
And he did.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It was grotesque.
There was an umbilical cord that was comically long.
They get pretty long, but yeah, I guess that one was pretty long. Like, it was leaving trails.
It's a stretched hospital hallway.
Look, this is a man who made Amoros Perros back in early 2000s. Dog Love, which is a great movie, and it's like the Mexican Pulp Fiction. Really interesting, and he just continues to expand and move on. Then he made some like really boring ones with 21 Grams, which I could not get through. I don't think you could either.
Babel was very inaccessible.
Babel was fairly upsetting to me.
21 Grams would maybe the bleakest film start to finish I've ever seen. At least Requiem for a Dream pops on occasion. There's like moments. 21 Grams is a goddamn slog.
Love Birdman. Say what you want about Birdman.
I love Birdman.
It took chances, but it was great. And then The Revenant is like just...
The Rev.
Yeah, this is his follow-up to The Revenant, and... it's just hard for me to recommend this movie to people. It was an experimental film for sure, but it could have been an experimental film that went down a little smoother.
We should talk spoiler because the ending that what I found to be a very powerful ending really put it over the top from mediocre to good.
All right, I'd love to hear your take on that because I just saw Turtle Boy and I was like, this is making me uncomfortable. It could have been called What Mateo's Missing. That could have been a good title.
Why?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I guess we'll have to talk more about this in the...
Who's Mateo?
Mateo's the kid that wanted it back in.
What? Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Did you call him by his name?
And I just got very angry.
You did. You took a headphones off.
I don't know if I understand the ending, and I need you to explain this to me. That's why I'm angry, because I don't want you explaining something to me when you don't even know who Mateo is, when the whole movie is based around Mateo's lack of existence.
He is the first character we see.
And he's mentioned numerous times.
That's true.
Maybe you... Oh, never mind. Okay. Turtle boy. There's a turtle. Yeah. All right, Bardo, can you recommend this? I give this a with my new rating system, I gave it 1 star.
No, really?
Per act.
Oh, I see.
And then I removed a star because you have to do that, otherwise you have 6 stars, so I give it 3 stars.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, 2 stars.
I'm calling Carrie the one.
3 minus 1.
No, it's a 3-star movie just because of the technical ability. Also, he lost a lot of his crew on this one again.
Oh, really?
A lot of people are just going to take the yelling and screaming, which he's known to do.
No, I didn't realize that.
He does a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming. And I think he might have lost his DP on this one. Yeah, I think they shut everything down because his DP just walked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. For what it's worth, the movie looks really good. It's got very deft camera movements. Gliding.
It does glide. Yeah. A lot of gliding, yeah. And you know, you got the sense that he really got away with things shooting down the Mexico stuff that he probably, you know, red tape and...
Oh, yeah, the dog slaughter scene was out of nowhere.
There's no dog slaughter. This movie needs help to get people to actually take the plunge. That's not going to help.
That's true.
There's no dog slaughter. There is dog slaughter, though, in Amoros Perros, which I think is a much easier film to digest.
Oh, ironic.
Have you ever seen that Amoros Perros?
No, I've never seen Love Dogs.
I'd like you to leave. Could you get out? Please remove yourself from my presence. It makes me angry that you haven't seen this movie.
Okay, just turn that camera. You only look at me on the screen.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'll just watch you on the screen. What were you saying right before the mic seated up, Brian? What has been pointed out to you?
What has been? Oh, my headphones. They're comical.
Listeners have let you know that.
Speaking of listeners, made you aware of it. I messed up and said 311 is from Ohio. In fact, they're from Omaha. And
you got the O right there.
They're I did the same thing with like Idaho and Iowa. The letter always messes me up.
It's a sign of not a very bright person. Yeah,
that's probably what it is.
Anything with an I just goes in this category.
That's right. It's
about as far as you can define it.
Now let me see what state this is.
You can't sub it. There's no subbing it. It's just all I's.
That's right.
All right. What else we got? We got a couple of listener-assigned movies. And
we did.
I got to say, they are the more interesting of the three movies we'll be discussing this week. Sorry to the listener who does not like it when we line up on all three movies. That is the case this week. I apologize.
I feel like people like that.
I think most do. Can't please everybody. Can't please them all. All right. Where are we going? What are we doing? We're having no dead air, Bri.
Okay.
You want to go short and simple or brooding and normal length? It's like 95 minutes, right?
Which I want to do whichever movie has a skull gun.
A skull a gun?
A skull gun.
A skull gun.
A gun that's out of a skull.
A good woman. Well, Brian!
That's not going to be in the way. Get back here. I'm talking, of course, about Dr. Horrible Sing-Along.
Brian.
Come on. Make yourself at home.
That's farther than he normally goes. He almost made it all the way out of the room.
It's an egregious way.
You got to step out of the box, knock the dirt off his cleats.
He went back to the dugout.
An egregious way to tip your hat as to which movie you want to talk. Let's talk about the end scene. That's how I'll let him.
You don't know whose gun. You don't know whose skull.
It's true, but now, I mean, I'm going to be doing the same thing right now, but when I was watching the menu, all I could think about is how are s'mores going to fucking tie into this the entire goddamn movie because of you guys.
S'mores.
And it was good.
It was great. A good woman is hard to find. 2020 film.
A good co-host is harder to find.
Direct. It's really hurtful. Really mean that you would say that. Starring Sarah Bolger, Andrew Simpson, and Edward Hogg. Anderson, who assigned this to us?
John Campbell.
John Campbell. 92%. Not John, the movie.
It's Campbell. Do you say that the P when their name is Campbell? No. Campbell. No. Campbell.
All right. Campbell.
Every time like I hear the name Campbell, I'm like, all right, but I have no fucking clue how to spell that because there might be a P in there, right? Sometimes there's a P.
It's like Townsend when it's S-H. You don't say Townshend. You say
I
Townsend.
Do. I would.
You would?
Yeah, I would. Phonetics. Wrong. I speak phonetically.
Okay. 92%. A good woman is hard to find.
Good woman is hard to find. 2019.
A good movie is easy to find. 2020 is when it was released in the States. And I want to mention that because it was released directly to streaming in May of 2020. Obviously a victim of COVID. I often wonder, well, this is a good movie. Why have I not heard anything about this? Well, it kind of got swallowed up in the hysteria of COVID. And I don't think anyone... I don't think many people saw this.
You know what? And it could have gone either way because look what happened with Tiger King, and that was thanks to COVID in a lot of ways. So
I think there's a comfort food element, though, to shit like Tiger King and true crime and series.
I love watching tiger cubs get mutilated. It's great. So comforting.
I mean, the true crime element of it. Whereas something like this is not comfort food. This will scratch your throat on the way down.
Plus, they probably didn't have that startup money, that seed money to actually, to get it out there to the masses who were sitting at home looking for something to do. So here's what John Campbell had to say. I didn't have a chance to catch up with John, but here's why he assigned it to us for exactly that reason. These are John's words. I think the movie would have gotten more play if not for COVID. I found it randomly on Apple TV. Hidden Gems is a section on there on the old Apple TV or whatever category they have for new indie movies in May 2020. And I liked it. I thought the main actress and the guy from Game of Thrones were great. Seemed like they were going for an Irish Nicholas Winding Refn vibe at the end. Looking forward to listening to what you guys think of it on the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you hit
all
the mark there.
Checks out.
You hit the mark there, John. It did exactly that. It's shining a light on a movie that should be seen. So let's take it away.
So this is streaming on Shudder, or you can rent it if you don't have Shudder. There's many rental options. And so Sarah Bolger is a, we can mention what she's a single mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And we find out pretty quick why she's a single mom. She has two kids, one of whom is very...
mute.
Yeah, mute. He doesn't talk. As we learned from a therapist, it's by choice, and he'll talk again someday, she assures her. But for now, he is not communicative.
Christian.
So she's trying to raise two kids while being recently widowed. And yeah, the plot takes off from there. There happens as meeting occurs, which sets the plot in motion, and she gets mixed up in some stuff that's a lot bigger than she is.
So yeah, it opens up with her and her lily pale white skin, right? What is it? It's England, right? Yeah, Ireland. Over there in Ireland. Yeah. Is it Ireland?
That, yes, almost positive. It's said Ireland.
It's the UK somewhere.
That was. Okay, whatever.
They got quid in Ireland? God, I'm dumb.
I don't.
They're talking about quid.
They're on the pound.
Well, they're talking about quid. Actually,
I don't know for sure. I do know that I mentioned Ireland was in the UK a couple of months ago, and I got a lot of feedback.
Part of it is in the UK. I guess the northern. I have not visited over there, and I don't learn shit until I'm actually.
It is slang for the British pound. Is quid.
But they use the British pound in the Ireland. We're being ignorant right now.
Currency is that?
It's just of the United Kingdom.
Well, I don't think Ireland's involved.
You know what I've learned? It's okay if we're being ignorant.
Irish currency.
About large swaths of white people. I think we're safe, okay?
Okay.
If we're safe. I'm not getting that heebie-jeebie vibe that I get sometimes when I'm...
You can't say heebie-jeebie.
Really? I'm not allowed to say
anti-Semitic.
No.
I just made that up.
Yeah, you did. Good Woman's Heart. So it opens up with her.
The euro. They use the euro.
I knew it.
So that would be like quid and whatnot.
No, the euro is Britain and England is very.
Well, opposed. He was talking about how much quid
fucking
he got.
Brexit. Quid is like bucks. So I had a cost of 10 quid. 10 bucks.
Oh, Christ. The Irish Geo Johnny
is, important.
Is going to be hitting me up, us both up, with long emails about how wrong we're wrong about everything. Oh, Diana Van Camp might. All right, we'll figure it out, okay?
That's right. She lives over there.
All right, a good woman's harder. So it opens up with like she's.
She's obviously been through a lot. She hurried, got back.
Speckled with blood. It's one of those things that YouTube videos do a lot of times. Like these are, you know, some of the punchlines and the big moments you're going to see in this video if you give it time. A lot of movies do that now, draw you in, and like, okay, she's going through some shit. She's covered in blood. How did that get there? I guess we'll find out because we're flashing back. Yeah, and. You realize that it's not going to be like a paint by number movie, that it's creative and clever when she's trying to get herself off with a vibrator and it's not working because it's out of batteries. I cut to her going, she's not like frantic, like a drug fiend, like, you know, chicken scratching, looking for drugs in the carpet or anything, but she's systematically going through her children's toys and unscrewing the little panels.
Harvesting batteries.
Looking for batteries so that she could get her vibrator going, which I'm like, okay, that's a nice touch.
I must admit, Watchers of Christie, was not her kind of movie. She checked out about 2/3 of the way through, but she saw a vibrator. Vibrator scene, and she was like, is that a shotgun? That thing's huge.
Wait, did she leave shortly thereafter?
I was going to say, did she start picking up Tessa's toys?
She just hear Tessa's like music toy.
She just looked over at me.
Just shaking her toy chest.
Looked over at me and said, must be nice.
The next morning, there was Tessa going, why are the batteries down there?
I overslept. My alarm clock's empty.
So that was a nice touch. I'm like, okay, this movie's going to have a little fun, even though it's a very serious
Chekhov's
thriller.
Chekhov's vibrator.
Stabbed him in the fucking eye with the pipe. All right. That was a line from the movie later. Okay. So an insane man named Tito interrupts her.
I feel like you like Tito.
Here's the thing that happens with this movie that was really interesting is, okay, so Tito, he's introduced to us by...
Is he the Game of Thrones guy? I never watched Game of Thrones.
You know what? Honestly, when he said the Game of Thrones guy, I'm like, I barely paid attention to Game of Thrones. I was so confused.
Okay, now I need to see.
Yeah, you figure it out. It's probably Tito. If I had to guess, it's Tito. I didn't recognize him, though, but they wore a lot of makeup and stuff in that old Game of Thrones.
He had a funny haircut.
Yeah. So Tito, he's introduced in this movie. He's revving up an engine. And he steals a car. And, you know, this is about 15, 20 minutes into the movie, probably. And we get to figure out just how off the deep end Tito is. His plan of action for that day is to steal a car.
Well, randomly start trying to open car doors as he walks down the street.
That's how he stole it. Yep. And then he targets a drug dealer's car, with a couple of toughs in it, and he just slams into them as hard as he can and steals all their shit and runs off maniacally laughing. And this is not a comedy. This is like a thriller. This is like a hard-boiled thriller that you
take
seriously.
There's not a lot of levity in this film.
But there is, because guys like Tito, right? So then Tito just he just enters her house because she's a woman and he can just do whatever he wants and she can't defend herself. And he thinks it's perfect.
She's very slight.
She's got a couple kids there. And he's like, all right, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to, like, you know, live here and keep this shit here. I'm going to sell drugs. I'll give you some of the capital. Yeah. You get a percentage, which he makes good on his word. And the thing that it did that was kind of frustrating is I love Tito. I wanted to really like Tito until I couldn't anymore.
Right.
And they made it quite apparent that I wasn't allowed to like Tito anymore.
I was going
to
say, you made the wrong choice.
They could have kept Tito
on my side of things. You know what I mean? He would have been one of my favorite characters, but then they made him so fucking dark.
Yeah, true.
Tito. But then you get to see
Tito makes bad choices.
You get to see like the boss, the little paint by numbers and tropey with like, you know, Tito's now being hunted by the crime boss. And like, you know, he's a very particular type of calm guy until he's not. And we've seen that before. All that said, I've never seen dismemberment this realistic since maybe Henry, the Portrait of a Serial Killer, which we didn't see. We just heard it.
Oh,
this we take. They take us down.
There's
road.
A process.
If you ever need to chop up a human body for whatever reason,
watch this first.
Go to your butcher and see if you can practice on a pig and or watch this scene because it'll kind of walk you through the paces of what you're going to have to deal with.
There was a lot of plastic tarp.
Mm, a lot. She did a pretty good job with that dextering of that room.
It was festooned.
She dextered it pretty good. I really like how they leaned on the whole idea that the police were just fucking worthless.
That's true.
Actually, all men in this movie. It was a very female-centric movie in the sense that, you know, every male was either a threat or just fucking worthless and didn't help.
What were we talking about last week where the undertones of rape were constant? Was that what it was? Yeah. And
I think it was Follow That Bird.
Okay. That makes sense. And this is a similar type of thing where she is constantly besieged by bad men. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whether they're, you know, what's the word? Not malevolently benign, but like basically the cops who are just kind of out of it. And you know what I mean? Stupid versus like Tito or the actual drug lord.
Action.
You
know? They take action. Yeah.
That was funny. Actually, I picked up on one thing. It was very subtle, but it was a well-written note, which is, you remember it's in the, like right around the turn of the second, third act where she's like, she says to the drug dealer or the drug lord or something like, and I'm saying I'm taking this with me and my kids. And he goes, my kids and I.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the wrong correction.
Yeah, I was thinking of you.
Yeah, he corrected her wrong, but he's
Brian
the man.
Recently
so he's, but he's the man, so he's man's, but I'm he has power.
You, I'm telling you, they wrote that thinking that is the right way because everyone, that's one of the simplest grammatical corrections that everyone makes. Kids and I
don't think a writer would make that mistake. A professional writer, I think think that's intentional to show that this guy who's lording power over her is a mansplainer.
Could be right. You could be right.
That's what I took from it. I thought it was a very clever, well-written moment, but you disagree.
Yeah, I just derailed all of that. I do think that he was correcting people all throughout. That was like his one of his little quirks. It was like, you know, he's very well-spoken and he corrects people. It reminded me a lot of you in that sense. No, I mean, not the well-spoken part, just the correcting people.
That was actually the best part.
But yeah, with the cops, like, not giving a damn, like, this storyline can't work, and it doesn't work. I was actually kind of wishing this was directed by a woman, because it is such a female's guise, but it still works. I'm not going to take anything away from it. I just think I would have liked it a little bit more.
You would have enjoyed the film more if afterwards you would have found out it was directed by a woman.
Yeah.
That's really lame.
Yeah, I guess it probably is. I think I would have been happier to
see. Did I like that movie? I don't know.
You know, like there's a movie L, which I always cite, and it was directed by Paul Verhoeven, and it's all about a woman who was raped and like how she goes through it and how she might go back to it. But it was written and directed by a man, and like I would have definitely liked that one more if it
Avery,
was.
Avery, you cannot assign that to us. Sorry.
L will be watched by you soon. So yeah, this is a female Blue Ruin. Would you give me that? Blue Ruin vibes?
Yeah, it's got a real gritty vibe to it. And like you said, not a lot of intentional laughs to be found.
There is laughter to be found though. There, especially with Tito. Tito's fun.
The sound design, especially during the aforementioned dismemberment scene, is not funny. It's actually about gruesome.
It is. Mm. This is a well-made movie that it was, I don't want to say tragically overlooked, but criminally. No, it's sad. There's so much good content out there and that people don't see and they don't watch it. Yeah, but Black Adam is you know, beloved.
Yeah. Is that true?
This guy liked it.
No, I didn't
like Black Adam. You loved it.
No, I did not. I thought it was barely average.
We're going to take a break.
Should we do Amazon? Because next episode is going to be long.
I don't know if it's going to be long. It's going to be long.
We got three lists.
Yeah, it's not going to be long.
And I got two for each.
What? Don't wink at me, sir. Let's take a quick break.
Coming up next.
We can do Amazon. You want to do Amazon?
I can do Amazon.
Let's do Amazon.
Huh? Doing Zone. We're zoning now?
We're zoning.
Sorry to pull a fast one on you. Okay. After this, we'll come back with one more listener assigned film after this. Oh, shit. Yeah, here it is. a rare serious turn, Anderson, here on the Amazon read. I noticed that someone tapped our banner, our link at the top of AndersonandBrian.com, and got 12 bottles of Enterade AO vanilla flavored drink, specially formulated to reduce treatment for gastrointestinal side effects. It'll research. I'm like, what is this? It's specifically for people going through radiation and chemotherapy who have like no appetite, everything tastes bad. It's not high in calories, but I guess it'll get you to eat or settle your stomach. It's for people going through like a cancer treatment, and they got the vanilla and they got orange. And just want to say, hey, good luck. If it's you, if you're buying it for a parent or a loved one, good luck to them. Good luck to you. If you want to reach out, you can email Avery. Don't bother me, please. Good luck to you, my friend. And thanks for tapping the banner.
Enterade?
Hope things. Enterade. Yeah, Enterade. Yeah.
And you might be able to make a movie about yourself someday.
That's right. I might have to interview you before it's too late.
Enter. What? Before it's too bright.
See, that's the humor. That's why.
You're not going to die, buddy. I think you're.
I don't mean me.
No, I thought you.
Other things purchased on that Amazon banner include somebody got two LCD screen assemblies for their MacBook Pro, as well as a G-Bolt screen replacement for a MacBook Pro. So good luck replacing your screen.
Somebody kicked their...
That's right. Someone got a fucking Vikings threw it across the room.
You got to be upset with Vikings?
Vikings lost to the Giants.
Oh, you mean the football team. I think an actual...
Oh, no, not the actual historical...
Yeah.
Marauders.
That was the weird... That was the conclusion of the Northmen.
That's right.
Fucking Vikings.
Flip over to the...
Yeah, that is a crime if that was the case, because if you're watching the Northman on your fucking laptop...
That's a good point.
All right.
Breville Bambino Espresso Machine was purchased. Two Lithonia Lighting Compact Pro LED Bay Lights. What's a Bay Light?
It's a Michael Bay, like the light that he uses on all his movies.
It looks so good in his films.
Very bright.
Okay, makes sense. Amazon Eero Pro 6 Mesh Wi-Fi Router was purchased. Someone got a Blaze Evercade EXP handheld.
Enter it.
What'd I say? Oh, no.
Enter it.
No, that's not funny. Whether that's a video, it's like a Game Boy, but it's obviously much more. Oh, that's a very dated reference. 18.
Why's it got to be Game Boy? I mean, girls like to play video games too. Point.
That's right. That wouldn't survive today's marketplace. Instant Pot 10-in-1 cooker was game picked kid. Up. Game person, game thing.
Mm.
Pokemon TCG Sword and Shield Ultra Premium Collection. Siriyui. Carbon fiber travel tripod. Carbon fiber travel tripod. Two, Ventru micro SD cards. Meter Plus. Oh, I love the meter. Smart meter thermometer. Have one myself. A premium engine and transmission mount. Kidney calcium oxalate protector. Perfect keto MCT oil. Two, Maxim Cat 6 Ethernet cables. Pop countertop popcorn machine. Hydro Flask wide mouth bottle. Someone got a Skosh Rhythm 24 waterproof heart rate monitor, hammer mill printer paper, 8 crystal whiskey glasses, Calculated Industries Scale Master, Elden Ring for PlayStation 5 was picked up, and finally, someone got themselves a whole bunch of Optimum Nutrition Muscle Recovery Powder.
Hit the post.
Nailed it, swished.
I'm going to have a hard time hitting the post here.
Do your best.
Hey, the members are clicked through. This is the last time I talked at y'all. Somebody clicked through and got The Thing, the 2011 prequel to The Thing.
Why?
Somebody also clicked through and got Days of Heaven. Did you see that Days of Heaven?
No.
Terrence Malick film before he lost his mind and started doing
long,
stream of
slow,
consciousness.
Plotting Days and Confused. Leaves.
Days and Confused, very different from Days of Heaven. Orange County is not, though. So Orange County is a movie you could go watch there with the old Young Hanks. Young Hanks, as they call him. Young Hanks played a young Tom Hanks in Young Otto or Old Otto. Yeah.
No,
apparently he did. I don't know. I heard way too much about it from my friend Paul today. He was just texting me like a madman about it. I'm like, I don't care about this fucking movie. In the Company of Men was clicked through. Folks, yes, I hope you liked it after me going on and on about it. Night of the Cops. Night of Cops. Look at that. Talking about Terrence Malick. Someone's doing Terrence Malick. Retrospect. Mm-hmm. Song to Song was clicked through, as well as Donald Cried.
Oh,
look at that.
No.
Look. Oh, yes.
I actually like Donald Cried.
That was Garth Donovan who turned us on to that one. The Death of Dick Long.
which is also known as the precursor to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh.
Same director. Groupers was clicked through. I've heard of that one. It's a good one. I highly recommend that. Groupers, the menu is clicked through. Why you got to click through the menu? It's streaming on HBO. Because maybe you don't have HBO. Candyland was clicked through, as well as The Fablemans, which is a movie that I might just fucking ban. Big Time Gambling Boss and The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Thank you very much for... You seen that Cabinet of Dr. Caligari?
Two posts and one segment.
I've not seen Caligari. I've seen The Fablemans, though. Spielberg may be up for... he's definitely going to be up for Best Director. It may win.
Das Cabinet des Dr. Caligari. Yeah, I might just... I skipped over West Side Story last year, and I still feel pretty good about that one.
Mm.
I feel like I'm a better person for having not seen it. You know what I mean?
But it was a passion project.
Mm-hmm. Fablemans isn't?
That's a really good point.
Two for two with this passion.
You know, movies are like dreams. Did you know that?
Is that true?
What was your favorite part?
Excuse me, I'm the best actor.
The fucking movie might never be seen by me. Oh, I could put that on my tombstone.
Never saw War Horse.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, you saw War Horse.
There's a slow motion shot of a horse jumping over a trench, Brian. My part of my soul will never return to me. It's like, fuck you, Anderson, I'm out of here. You're making me watch this. I'm going up.
It's like Homer's brain talking to him. That's it, I'm out of here.
Just part of my soul. Like certain movies that I see, like parts, I can just feel parts of my soul just going, all right, we're exiting early.
I'm not getting that back.
All right, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Oh, time to go over one last movie. I was vaguely aware, Anderson, of Dr. Horrible. But did not know exactly what it was, and I'm glad that it's in my life.
Dr. Horrible Sing Along, assigned to us
Sing Along Blog, apparently.
Sing Along Vlog.
Full title.
Blog, right?
I thought it was Blog.
That's what I said.
Which really confused me as I was trying to. No, he was saying Vlog with V.
Well, yeah. It's a video log, I guess. But
Sing Along Blog. You're
the
right.
Title is Blog.
Yeah, you're right.
Assigned to us by Eric Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Did you talk to Mr. Robbins?
I did. I talked to Eric. I've talked to him a number of times. One of my favorite listeners.
This would not be something you would think.
He was doing us a solid because he knows that we're stacked up. And he's like, you know what? I really like this Dr. Horribles directed by Joss Whedon.
That's right.
I never heard you guys talk about it. I think it's a blind spot for you. Plus, it's on the shorter side. It's 42 minutes, right?
It's three episodes. I believe it was initially released as a limited web series. Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog from 2008, like Anderson said, directed by Joss Whedon, starring Neil Patrick Harris, Felicia Day, Nathan Fillion, and Simon Helberg. No Rotten Tomato scores, you can imagine. 8.4, however, on Rotten DB, IMDb. And you can stream this on YouTube.
Yes. It was produced, shot, very hastily, without any kind of art or, you know, depth of field or anything. They just shot it like just real straightforward.
Apparently Joss Whedon financed the film himself.
Yes, he did. And it was shot during the writer's strike, I guess. So they had a little downtime, and they had back lots to use and whatnot. And I get the sense that they started this off even smaller, like, let's just make it a vlog because Neil Patrick Harris is just so... He's just so good. He's got so much personality, and charisma. It opens up with him. Charisma. Yeah, he's got the charisma. I love that guy. And he opens up with him just speaking directly to the camera. He's doing a blog, right? And he's talking about what he needs, what he wants from life, and what his plans are. And that could have been the whole thing, right? And then they expanded it, and it becomes a musical, and he's like in various spaces. But go ahead. What more do you got to say?
I was going to tell you off top. Well, slightly on topic. I don't know. Should I save this for off the air? This is a bad pod. Apparently, Neil Patrick Harris can be difficult to work with.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I think he probably demands perfection and
I think you're
hard
right.
work and it's attention funny. To detail.
I'll try and be as vague as I can, but I know someone in my life who's in marketing, and she was telling me that Neil Patrick Harris was approached by a large advertiser, a company we've all heard of, frequented,
right.
et cetera, to do an ad campaign for them. A lot of money involved.
Right.
And they basically, as it works in advertising, they come to you with a bunch of pitches and offer ideas for spots, whatever. And he basically was like, these all suck. Just give me the money you were going to spend on the commercial. I'll make something and it'll be better. And he did, and it was. The funny part
you can't
is...
can't be mad at him about
the show.
No, not at all, because this person in my life who's in marketing showed me the final product, and I was like, that's really good. That was really good.
Was she hurt by it because one of her ideas got rejected?
No, I don't think she had anything to do with it.
I just trapped him.
No.
Got him.
What? She.
I said she. I said she earlier.
Oh, you did say she earlier?
Sorry, buddy.
I mean, we all know who it is, bro.
Who?
It's your Aunt May.
That's right. Yeah. How did you cut that out? Mark that.
Right. So
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
I imagine he had some creative input on this.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. When I hear about John C. Reilly, I'm like, really? That sucks.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't like to hear that he's difficult. But yeah, Neil Patrick Harris in the best possible way, because the man's so talented. Not but that he's John also, C. Reilly's not.
In this respect, he was dealing
so
with-
So creative.
You know, he was dealing with ad people, which, yeah. You know, are a varying creative quality.
Right. So this, what do you call it? A show, three-parter, right?
It goes down smooth.
It's very enjoyable.
It's very fun. It has some commentary for sure.
Nathan Fillion was a goddamn revelation. I don't. Where do people know him from? I just know him as that
he's
guy.
He's in Firefly, and then he's in that. What's that really? Your mom watches this show that he was on. Yeah, Castle.
Okay. Yeah,
we see his
face like on billboards and like TV spots like when we're trying to watch other things.
Wasn't that Joss Whedon? Is that where they know each other from? Okay. Well, either way, I did not know much of Nathan Fillion. He was a damn delight. I found him quite enjoyable.
So he plays like the... I mean, I think a lot of our listeners probably have seen this, but if you have not and you dipped out like Brian and I did when it became, it was kind of like a viral sensation when it came out. Like everyone was talking about it for a couple of weeks. Have you seen? I'm like, I even watched the first like maybe 2 minutes of it when it came out. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is
Dr. Horrible.
Yeah, Dr. Horrible. But I am very happy that I saw
it. You couldn't get past Neil Patrick Harris talking directly to camera?
No, it was actually when they went away from that. Cause I love Neil Patrick Harris. Like there's this one I was talking about with Eric about it. There's this one little beat. And he's just so good. You know, he's all completely off script, obviously. And he's this long, long monologue. And he's reading someone's comment about sarcasm. And then he comes back with sarcasm himself, talking about how unoriginal it is.
Oh,
and then
sarcasm. That's original.
And then he realizes what he just did there. And he kind of looks away for a second. It's just little moments like that. He's just so good. The little nuances. And then it went away. And I think they started singing right after that. They started singing in a laundromat. I think that's where I tapped out originally.
Yeah, I don't remember if there was singing right off the bat, but yes, they cut to the laundromat.
But there's a lot of laugh out loud moments in this show.
Some solid chuckles.
And yes, you can give the beats, I guess. So he's like, all he wants
Who cares?
Is to...
It's kind of Mystery Man-esque in the sense that all he wants to do is be part of this evil league of evil, or it's called something like that, the eagle... Whatever. He wants to be part of like the evil like league. He's an aspiring villain and he's applying and he keeps getting rejected because he's not evil enough. So his nemesis, of course, is
Captain Hammer.
Played by Nathan Fillion.
His penis.
You know it's Captain Hammer because there's a picture of an arm holding a hammer.
Yeah, it's all
chest.
Yeah, it's all very bubblegum and cute. But also we know him from we know Nathan Fillion from. Suicide Squad. He was, I think, one of the original guys that gets killed in the opening scene.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
Yeah.
In the good one. It's right at the first mission they have, along with the weird cat thing that dies.
Yeah. He's one of those.
So he's like Captain Obvious. He's like the captain, like he's the good looking high school quarterback, the kind of guy that's just super.
Dim,
he's like Frank Stallone in Barfly, for those of you following closely along.
And nice comp that everyone knows.
Yeah, but he's a dick, you know. Right. There's some good commentary too, like on the you know below the surface. He's just, but then below surface,
I'm gonna give her the hammer.
So. Ultimately, all of that is kind of summed up in a very succinct and dark way by the end of the movie.
Yeah, indeed.
The show.
How is this not a feature? This should be an 80 to 90 minute feature.
I don't know if it would work that way.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to really develop the music even further. And
I need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I wish, you know, I watch a show like this or a movie or whatever you want to call it, a short, and I wish that all movies or more movies were like 45 minutes long because so many movies could be told in 45 minutes, you know?
Well, left me wanting more.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. So a solid, solid recommend, a solid assignment. I'm very happy to have seen both of these assignments this week.
Captain Hammer.
It's all on YouTube. You can watch the master, the supercut, which is they're all cut together, and do yourself a solid. Sit down, watch it. 42 minutes. The bluest it gets is the word penis is uttered.
Yeah, it's fairly
innocuous.
That's PG. That's a bit rich.
Is it?
That's well, right.
Too much for you. And there's also a
there's blood.
A torso that chest cavity that gets wounded.
Are they related?
No.
No. Tangentially.
No. This is not A Good Woman Is Hard to Find. That would be the case. That would have been a turn. Never, I don't want to say that because it'll give too much away. Mm. But if the dismemberment and
the member
and the vibrator.
Oh,
that, I mean, how do you set that up so that is the only choice? That would be tough. Like she's trapped in a room. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
She's trapped in a room.
All right. She ran out of batteries real quick, and then she needs her kids. That's right. So, like, roll batteries under the door because she's strapped. Oh, that's terrible.
Don't open the
that's
door.
It's a different movie. Different movie. Talking about
Thanks, Eric Robbins. That was a solid assignment. Couple of solid assignments this week.
That's what I just finished saying. Yeah, I said all of that.
But now I said it because it's official.
John Campbell and Eric Robbins, thank you very much for bringing both of these movies to light. Or one's a show, one's a movie. And that's that.
What do we have for next week? People like to follow along.
Next week, we're going to be watching a Rex Fisher assigned movie, which is a movie that can be difficult for most all of you to see unless you are Daily Wire members.
Well, that's at least half our audience.
Which is What is a Woman? Mm. Which we are going to have some thoughts about. It's a documentary about a man named Matt Walsh, who's a father of girls, and he takes it upon himself to raise the money, evidently, to make a movie of him wandering around the country, flying around the country, asking professionals to define what a woman is, because he's trying to get to the bottom of transgender and why, if it's a good idea, a bad idea. And
I wonder what he concludes.
I can't imagine a world in which this is controversial. Hmm.
We're going to have thoughts. They're not all going to be like lefty thoughts either. There's some interesting things in this movie for sure. I have seen it. So I have not talked to Rex Fisher about it yet.
You have not talked to me about it.
I have not. Well, I'll be doing that next week.
I haven't seen it.
And then also we'll be talking a little movie called Happy as Lazaro, brought to us by Thomas Kusterman. Thomas Kusterman has assigned us Happy as Lazaro.
Where can I see this?
And also a Good Woman That's Hard to Find can be streamed on Tubi with commercials, which I would not recommend. Also, it's on Canopy. If you do not have your library card yet, please go out and get Netflix. That so you can open up Canopy.
You got 2 hours and 5 minutes. I'm out.
I do.
You got a library card?
I got Canopy and I got Hoopla.
Tight. Smart, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's great.
Watch A Good Woman's Hard to Find and enjoy Tito.
And if you're a nerd like me, you can get free shit on your Kindle and free audiobooks. It's the best. You can just get free media, period.
Yeah,
that's
great. That's what the library does.
That's great.
It's not old moldy
books and shit. It's great. It's stuff you actually
How
use.
How upset are like
I'm going to read this 2 hour movie?
Who come here because they love the idea of capitalism and then they wander into a library and they're like, what the fuck is this?
Furious.
So give the shit away.
What is this shit? Yeah. I would imagine that it would turn a lot of immigrants away. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Furious. One thing they hate is free books.
It's the library.
I thought this was capitalistic society. Why this shit?
Why do they put their newspapers on sticks?
Microfiche.
I came here for macrofiche.
Macrofiche. Is there such a thing? There should be a macrofiche, right? You gotta have one if you gotta have the other.
Projected onto a wall.
That's for the old people.
That's right.
Yeah. That's almost me, man. I can barely see it these days.
That's a really good point.
Just 6 months. 6 months ago, I could see fine, and now it's just like everything is.
What happened?
I don't know.
That's a sign of an acute development. As opposed to like taking a long time.
As opposed to an obtuse development, Brian. It's very good.
It's like acute pain. It comes on at once. Right in one spot.
Thank you, Brian, for the edification.
Edification? Lucky you.
Mm. Brian, do not patronize or placate.
Patronize.
Please. Oh, I hate you. All right, let's go. Let's play some music. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Thank you.
We're moving on to a listener assigned topic.
Tyler Mayer assigned us top 5 actor-director teams. A fruitful topic.
My God, it's about time. We've been talking about doing this for a long time. Were you aware of just how much we would have to sift through?
Not at all. In fact, I wasn't able to, so I included 5 comedic combinations as well as 5 dramatic.
Oh, you did do 2 and 2.
I did. Was that bad?
Brian, do you want to
save comedic?
No.
We can do that.
I can't do that.
Thanks, Manatee, for being our featured artist this week. If you want your songs heard by dozens, send us an email at contacttfv@gmail.com.
You go.
Yeah, contacttfv@gmail.com, just like Manatee did, and have your stuff seen on AndersonandBryan.com. Thank you to Eric Robbins. Thank you to John Campbell for assigning us films this week. If you want to be an assigner, head on over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/thefilm. I assume that's correct. Patreon.
Yes.
Look us up, Patreon.
Yes.
AndersonAndBrian.com is the website. Instagram, Anderson and Brian. The Film Vault on Facebook. The Film Vault on Twitter. The Film Vault Podcast on YouTube. Lots of good stuff over there. I can't get away from it. I try as I might.
No, there's a lot of really good stuff. It's coming together the way that I've wanted it to come together for a while. Jordan Montgomery is doing some really good work for us. Eric is now doing a lot of good work for us. It's good stuff. It's finally populating.
The team is coming together. Thanks, team. Giovanni, Jordan Wolf, Mitch Burns, Mike Cole.
Jordan Wolf is no longer a part of the program.
Plays Jordan Montgomery is no longer a part of the program.
Jordan's.
Oh, really? Neither Jordan? Oh, Jordan, it was fun having you when we had you,
they both said enough.
Bigger and better things. And, of course, Eric Kath, thank you for helping out with the YouTube page. Addie's Antiques is up and popping. What's new over there?
Yeah, you know what? We just went to we go to antique stores quite a bit because that's what the wife likes to do. And if it means getting out of town, I'm like, let's do it. Fill the tank. Let's go out of town and look at some antiques. She has been pricing her stuff so aggressively that like we go to antique stores and stuff is like routinely 30, 40, 50% more than what she's got it for up on her site. So check it out over there because good deals. Really good deals.
Search Addie's Antiques, please, on Facebook, if you would. Yeah, much not away from the thing. Hold on, there it
is. Mid-century modern. I pick shit too. My eye is developing, Bri.
Well, your eyes are getting worse.
Oh, that's true, but I know what to look for.
Invade the Decade is Avery's podcast. Check that out if you have some spare time. And until next time,
we do it for Van Gogh.